some respects, it has a beginning and it has an end. Beginning, of course, enlightens, informs you as to how things came into being, how the human race came into being. And of course, it tells us too how that God will bring history to a final conclusion, to an end. And then of course the bit in between is just as important, because, well, it tells us what we must do in order that our end, our finish, might be well, might be a good one. Jesus Christ, of course, he tells us quite lucidly, just as to how things will be on the approach to the end. He says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when he, the Son of Man, returns, that is to wrap up the history of the world. Noah, the Bible says, was a righteous man. Sure, you've heard of Noah, man who built the ark, and of course, very recently, Hollywood has produced one of its extravaganzas about Noah. Of course, the Bible gives you a more realistic version of the story of Noah and how things were in those days. It's important for us because that's how it will be when Jesus, when the Son of Man returns. The Bible says that Noah, he was a righteous man, not in and of himself. He was a sinful man, just the same as you, just the same as myself. How did he come to be righteous? Well, the Bible tells us, by faith, by trusting in God, not just any God, the true and living God, the one who created the universe, the world, and everything in it, and the one, of course, who gives you life and breath, who sustains your very life until this time. But Noah, he was a righteous man. Why? Well, because in a day of serious decline, he held to his integrity. He trusted in God's wisdom, rather that is, in the wisdom of the world. And then, of course, all this in a time of terrible wickedness, corruption, and apostasy. Noah, because he believed, he stood firm in his integrity, he stood firm in his faith, he swam against the tide of ungodliness and apostasy, such as was in the days of Noah. But Jesus tells us, as it was then, so it will be at the end, just before Jesus returns to judge the world in righteousness. You see, it is possible to hold to one's principles. It is possible to hold to one's integrity, even in a time of decline, moral decline, apostasy and corruption, such as you see in your own day to day. Noah, he was a righteous man. He found favor with God simply because he trusted in God and God's own revelation of himself. he listened to, he heeded to God's warning concerning the judgment that was to come upon the world, and the result of that, he and his family were saved. He taught and he practiced righteousness. He lived by his faith in the face of all the filth and uncleanness, the immorality and loose living that he found in the days of decline in which he lived. You see, you don't have to follow the crowd. It's well that God says we all like sheep have gone astray, because we just follow one another, don't we? Something's popular. You know, if everybody else is doing it, you've got to do it too. And just like silly old sheep, we just follow the crowd into the apostasy, corruption, immorality and filth of our own day and generation. But Noah was a righteous man. He stood against the tide of corruption and wickedness. He stood by his principles in the midst of the decline. You see, God, he always keeps his own. Those, that is, who trust in him through his Son, Jesus Christ. But of course, in a day of decline, such as you're faced with in your own nation today, one wonders just how long that God will permit it to carry on before the sword falls. But you can be assured, sooner or later, it will, it must needs be. For if God does not judge this your generation, he will have to apologize to Noah's generation, and he will have to apologize to the likes of Sodom and Gomorrah. But God is not in the business of apologizing. Be assured of that. He will judge in righteousness this generation of apostasy, of decline and corruption that you see before you today. But of course, there is always, God assures us, a remnant according to his gracious purposes. God never is without a witness in any day and generation. Of course, the springhead, the source, the fountain of the decline, the degeneration that you see around you today in the world, and of course predominantly in the Western Hemisphere and even in your own society, well, it comes out of the heart of man, because it's inclined towards evil only and continually. That's the fountain from which you have come. And that's why you see so much wickedness, violence and murder and mayhem in your generation in the world today. But many, of course, in a time of moral and spiritual decline, they abandon their principles, you know. And because they abandon their principles, you know, we can't stand principled people in this generation, can we? You know, we want more to follow the liars, you know, and deceivers, those who give up their principles, whether it be for money or power or fame, it doesn't matter. As long as you get the end, forget about the principles, just get what you want. And of course, many, they give up their principles and they yield to evil counsel, just simply and only because it's popular and it's the route to getting what they want. And they yield even to that which is pernicious, deceitful and even violent, if must needs be. course, there are many in your society today who would claim to have faith, a veneer of faith, you know. They have good intentions that one day they'll get round to doing what God says, what they know that they ought to do, but there's no root in them, not like Noah, who was a righteous man and stood by his righteous principles. They don't have the root of the matter in them. It's not genuine, it's not saving faith, it's not the faith that produces righteousness, not like Noah. And of course, in a time and day of decline, when all you've got is just a veneer of faith, well, you shouldn't give up, and the faith is gone. Just a little bit of pressure, and you yield, and you go along with the masses, with the rest of the sheep. You follow them into the moral decline. But even many who have the root of the matter in them, who would be genuine believing people, who would believe in God and His Word in the Bible, of course, because of the decline, they too fall asleep and they fall prey to the moral decline and to the apostasy, and they slip away too. They fall off the track, you might say. You see, people, days of decline are very dangerous days. Not many hold to their principles. Not many stand by the righteousness of God. They give way, they fall away, and they're lost, they're swept away in the tide of moral decline and spiritual apostasy. And then, of course, in such a day, well, you find that the majority who hold to their principles have grey hairs. And eventually, of course, they're taken home to heaven by God. And so the number of righteous that you have in your society become less and less, until they're almost all taken away. But they are the pillars of your society. And when the pillars are removed, the pillars of righteousness, I mean, are removed from your society, well, that just hastens the decline, and it becomes worse and worse. More apostate, more immoral, more filthy, unclean, more deluded. And of course, well, many are swept away, not in a flood of water as in Noah's day, as it was in the days of Noah. Jesus says, so it will be when the Son of Man, when Jesus returns to judge the world in righteousness. That's just the way it will be, a time of moral and spiritual decline. Many are swept away in the flood of immorality. Evil prevails against all opposition that's raised against it, because it's the popular, because you have a nation, a society led by and filled with unprincipled people who don't have a principle to their name. That's how it was in Noah's day, and that's how it was, will be, Jesus says, when He returns. And of course, in such a society, in a state of decline, the tables get turned around, and evil is established by law. Good is called evil, and evil is called good. And of course, it's established by law. Evil is not just permitted, it is commanded. of course, well, you see something of that in your own society and have done in recent days. All shame is cast away. You hear the voices of mockery growing louder and louder when righteousness lifts its voice in the midst of you. You forget how to blush, you know. We used to be a nation that knew how to blush when we had been found out doing wrong. But all shame is cast away. And of course, men, well, they would rather risk their conscience than their reputation. You know, they don't want to be, well, they don't want to be in the minority. They don't want to be reputed to be righteous in the midst of such, you know, a time of decline and apostasy. So what they do is they give up their conscience, harden themselves, and their consciences become seared as with a hot iron. And they, well, join all the others. And then, of course, Jesus does say that in an adulterous generation, men will be ashamed of him. And this, of course, you find too in your society, which is just as it was in the days of Noah. People are ashamed to identify with and to speak of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they are ashamed of him. But of course he does assure us that when he comes with his holy angels, those who have been ashamed of him, well, he will be ashamed of them before his Father's throne. And then, of course, all seriousness, have you noticed? All seriousness is opposed. We don't want anybody in such a society who is serious, and especially so, about what God has revealed in the Bible. We don't want seriousness. You have to be a buffoon, you have to be a fool in order to prevail in such a society in decline and apostasy. And anyone who happens to be serious, well, they're just condemned and they're despised. Even your leaders, your politician, you know, Boris, the mayor of London, a prospective prime minister, they tell me, did ever you see such a buffoon? All clever, very clever, all of them to a man, they tell me, Oxbridge brats. They're the cleverest that you could possibly wish for, I declare. But fools? Fools, to a man, to a woman, every one of them. No seriousness. I especially so have come, of course, when it comes to the morals and the spirituality of your nation. All they care about is money and the getting of it. They get richer, you get poorer, but you follow them into their blindness, into their apostasy, into their immorality. And then, of course, well, the persecution of the righteous begins just as it was in the days of Noah. They mocked and they ridiculed and they marginalized Noah. And of course, well, that's begun in your own society. Anyone who is righteous is persecuted to, well, to a degree, but of course that will continue. And it continues to go worse and worse. And any, of course, who hold to their integrity, well, they will be persecuted more and more. Until, of course, that is the same persecution. It fills up the cup of iniquity that's just before the sword of God's judgment falls. So you see, people, Noah, he was a righteous man, and he was persecuted for his faith and righteousness. But that's just the way it will be. It's a picture, you see, given to us in the Bible of how things will be at the end, just before God judges the world in righteousness by His Son, Jesus Christ. But the righteous nonetheless will prevail. Noah and his family were saved because they held to their righteousness by faith in God. And it's only the righteous at the end, of course, it's only the righteous who will prevail. God has promised His people that the gates of hell will not prevail against them. No matter how many there be against them, and no matter how much they come against them. You see, people, Jesus Christ is ever and always in the midst of His people, the sovereign protector and guard of His people. God will never be without a witness. Yes, you would like Him to be silent, and you would silence Him if you could. But that's an impossibility. God will never be without a witness and without a voice in His own creation. Noah's preaching of righteousness condemned the people in his own day. They would not heed, they would not listen, they would not take note to the warnings of judgment. They just laughed, scorned, took no notice, until that is, the water started to rise and the water started to fall. Then, of course, the panic set in. Then the fear gripped them. Then the astonishment. And then, of course, well, the pleading for of mercy, but way, way too late. You see, it reveals, the story reveals the power of God's grace. You see, His ability to protect and to save the righteous in the midst of such terrible moral decline and spiritual apostasy, as you see in your own nation and in the Western world today. God, you see, He preserves Himself a seed for a future day. This is a generation of God's wrath. It has to be said plainly, solemnly, but it's the truth. This is a generation of God's wrath. And the most of you will face the judgment of God. Not many of you will be saved in this generation. But God will save Himself a few. He will save Himself some. That after you've all been swept into a lost eternity, God will raise up a generation of righteousness in days to come. So turn from the true religion, the religion of the Bible, the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, that alone saves and makes a person through faith righteous. Turn from it if you will, but there will ever be a witness against you. That you had the gospel, you had the good news, it was declared to you, but just as in the days of Noah, you mocked, you scoffed, you took no notice, you would not believe, but hardened yourselves in unbelief. And as a result of it, well, I assure you, from God's word, you will be lost. You see, people, there will be witnesses, there will be Christians whom you had amongst you, churches, Bibles, street preachers who brought the truth to you, and they will rise in judgment against you in the end and condemn you, just as Noah did his generation. iniquity, immorality, filth and uncleanness. Yes, it's the fashion of the day, but I tell you, you pay an awful high price for it, a lost eternity. It overflows the banks of your nation, and I dare say it will grow worse and worse. It will multiply as the time goes on. Your ways and your practices are not good. The way of the righteous, yes, it's hard, it's difficult. You say, it must be nigh impossible to live a life of righteousness in a society and world such as this is today. Yes, difficult, hard, I do acknowledge that, but not impossible. Because Noah was a righteous man, and you still have a few, not many, you still have a few amongst you today. But how does a person become righteous in the eyes of God? Well, believing, trusting, faith and faith alone, the grace, the gift of God, that is eternal life through Jesus Christ, is received. It is only a gift, and it is received by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. Only simply reaching out the hand of faith and following Jesus Christ in the pathway of righteousness, that is obedience to his word revealed to us in the Bible. Believing, you see, that's the key, that's the entrance, that's the issue, and standing in faith in what God has revealed. Such alone will be saved from the coming judgment of God. Words of the Lord Jesus, flee from the wrath to come, because it's a certainty, it is coming. Well, as I say to you week by week, you'll find it in God's Word, in the Bible, still available to you. You still, for a while at least anyway, you have the freedom to read it, to listen to it, and I have the freedom to declare it amongst you. For how much longer, I don't know, but you have it today. And God's Word is offered to you, well, an extract at least from the Bible, yours to take, do with as you will. But here, you'll find the essence of the Bible, Mark's Gospel. It's all about Jesus, you see, the Savior, the only Savior of sinners. Believing, trusting in him, you will be saved. God's command to you with the promise this afternoon is simply this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the promise is, you shall be saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, shall be saved. Saved from the penalty of sin. Its wages are still death. Saved from the power of sin that holds you and keeps you in the folly of unbelief, in the foolish notion that there is no God. Saved people from sin's power and its presence that permeates and fills your world today, your own hearts and lives. Saved from it. Salvation, you see, is what the Bible is about from beginning to end. The love of God is shown in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, for a world lost in sin. That whoever receives, whoever lays hold upon and believes in Jesus Christ will be counted righteous, justified before God, righteous altogether. Only way a man can be righteous before God, through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So as I say, it's all in God's Word. It's offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. yours to take and do with as you will. You would like to have a copy, then you come and ask for one. God bless you and have mercy upon your souls.